So I have the after lunch session, but I'm going to make you do the work. So I'm just going to kick off quickly. I really became involved, apart from at the university level, in Assa's tuition offering at the beginning of the year. And I have two things to say about that. Is one is that it is quite a big enterprise, and I think obviously not big enough yet. And the second thing is, where's the year gone? But just where are we at the moment? So for F200, quite a long time ago, we started actually providing tuition services for that. And at the moment, there's two offerings. The one is a face-to-face full tuition, and then the other one is a tiered approach, where there's slightly limited things that get offered. Then on the F100, some of the universities who have space in the university courses offer some F100 spaces, but we essentially have a peer-marked course. So it's a course that's run on an online platform, but basically the students help each other. And then there's the academy, which provides additional support at various different levels where they think there's a need. And I know there's some strong opinions about that in the room. And then the last thing is, I think for quite a lot of things, we use ACTED still. So that's sort of my summary of where we are at the moment. Oops. Just. And you can knock my stats, but what I did here is just try to get an idea of how many people are using our tuition offerings. So I literally just took the stats of the people who are currently enrolled in the courses over the number of students who wrote last time. Okay. And what we can see is there a. What we can see. Yeah. The only one where there's really a spike is the F206. Okay, and maybe we can explore some reasons why that is. But in general, the participation is not that high. Forget the numbers, just look at the level. It is the first year semester over the first year's sitting. Yeah. Okay, so now it's your turn to do some of the work. So what we really would like to explore in this session is, how do we take our tuition as ASA to a new level? Okay. I deliberately didn't include what the universities do because that's not part of my responsibility in the ASA context. But given the discussions this morning, if you want to go there, maybe it's not a bad idea. Is what should a student look like that come from university? But don't spend the time there, because the time is to try and answer these questions. And then literally, so just the activities that we offer. So what are the kind of things that we should stop doing? What are the kind of things that we should continue doing? And what should we start doing? And then the big ticket question is, who are the right people to get involved in here, and how do we get them involved? And then perhaps a next question is, should we do too much ourselves, or should we continue using ACTED? Maybe use ACTED more, maybe use ACTED less. And then what is the role of the academy? Should they maybe provide specific tuition for specific subjects, or provide additional tuition just where it's necessary? And then the last question is, how do we make sure that what we offer is used by the people that it's aimed at? And just an example of that is, if you think about the academy, that is not meant to help students who've had every single opportunity to pass A211. It is meant to help students who've not had the opportunities, but who might be able to become good actuaries, pass that entrance exam. So that's what I have in mind there. Is if we have special offerings, how do we make sure that the students that actually then do take them up or do make use of them are the correct students. Okay.
So the tuition, I'm not familiar with the F200 tuition. What do they get? And I'm slightly familiar with the academy, but maybe can you just like do like 1 minute on what happens? Like what do they actually get when they participate in F200 tuition and tuition in general?
Okay, F200 is the typical kind of thing that we would offer. There's lectures, there's assignments, there's mock exams, the whole tutti. Okay, face to face. Okay, sometimes, help me, sometimes they do it via telecon. Okay, but the idea is it's face to face. Okay, and then the academy, I think I'm going to defer this to somebody else who can help. Mike will help.
Okay, the academy was set up to help disadvantaged students with subjects where they're really battling was the objective that it was set up for, and it was set up, the deliberate thing, to be a fairly flexible structure from the point of view of finding out where there's a need. Let's see what we can do to meet that need. I think the areas where we've noted, and really if we look at the underlying objective for the academy is to say where we've got such massive differences in pass rates for people from different racial groups. We do not believe race is the underlying factor. It's more underlying things going back further in the education journey and language and issues of those issues, things that people were talking about earlier of people not having any experience of the office world and things like that, which is why some of the academy's most active work is at the A302 level. Excuse me. Which is teaching a combination of preparing people for the student, for the exam, but as much preparing people for communicating effectively and being able to seize opportunities that come their way in the world of work. When they get there. Other areas of focus have been subjects where African students in particular have been battling with, like the A202 in the earlier subjects there, and A301 is one that we've put a lot of effort into, as well as the modeling A420 course, which is again where often there's a computer skills deficit that's more pronounced amongst African students than it is amongst other students who haven't had the opportunities, and so those are the areas we've been putting focus, and that's the objective. A lot of combination of the courses of distance learning together with face-to-face instruction, and the results, I think we can say, have been mixed to date in terms of how the students have done. I think the issues are around, to an extent, selection for who comes on the programs, because it's not meant to be, you're looking for students with potential to help give them a leg up, as opposed to students who don't really belong in the program, and to try and keep them on life support a bit longer, to be harsh with the choice of language. And the model the academy works on, it's one that if you participate in the activities of the academy, effectively the society is sponsoring you. You can look at it and say, well, it's you're being effectively sponsored, and the society is investing in your future career in that. If you sign up for a program and you don't participate in the activity and then you go and fail your exam, then you will be paying for it. This is the model it works to. I said, Joe, the results have been mixed in terms of against a comparable peer group is what we look at the performance, and sometimes they've shot the lights out. I mean, really have the first session that we did the A302, we thought we'd really hit a real vein of gold on this one, and they outperformed all students, black, white, whatever, academy students outperformed. Unfortunately, we haven't had a repetition of that level of performance on the thing. So I think it's early days to be definitive. We refine things as we grow and learn. I think there's still issues on the selection, because I think there's a big risk on the academy now that some of the students go there and think, oh, the academy is going to do it for me. So they take the foot off the pedal themselves. So I know certainly the input that Lasani does in his involvement, and it's a pity he's not here, is really that stressing that actually we're here to help you, not to do it for you. Because I think definitely after that first session, there were students think, oh, I'm in the academy, foot definitely not work quite so hard themselves, and the academy's not writing the exam for them.
Okay, And now Steve has his mic back, which is dangerous. Okay. So I think let's, for just about 10 minutes, let's just break up in small groups. So Janet, if you can, and then you three guys, and then the next three, and I tried to split you, but you three, and then Garrett, and then I think you guys just maybe go and join another group. Okay, guys, so let's not make this a discussion about the academy. The academy is one of the tools that we have in the tuition process. Okay, but if you guys can please have a good go at giving us your best ideas about how do we improve our tuition effort. Okay, guys, shall we start, get some feedback? A long time ago in a previous life, I was the actuary to almost all the church funds in South Africa, Afrikaans ones anyway. And the one year I had to go and present the actuarial valuation report at the Synode. I'm not quite sure what that is in English, but... And I thought, well, this is going to be the worst thing, because how do you stop these guys from talking? And they have an agreement. They agree the principles of the meeting, and then they have a watch on the wall that says you have 3 minutes, and it's counting down the whole time. So maybe I should have had that to stop you guys in time. It's okay. Guys, I think let's just get some feedback. We deliberately split into smaller groups to get all the opinions. So I'm not sure we have 15 minutes, so I'm not sure if everybody will be able to say exactly what everybody wants and still have a discussion. So, but please, if you have some points that you don't get to say, maybe just put them on a piece of paper so that we can consider them afterwards as well. But I don't know, which group would like to share with us first? No, you guys got lost. Okay, you have 3 minutes. 2 minutes.
2 minutes. Okay, so the discussion here turned more towards the quality of the exams, the F200 exams, rather than the quality of the tuition, because we think that that's a bigger problem to solve. We think that the F200 exams are unbalanced at the moment, and that there are a lot of issues with those papers, and that makes the exam really difficult to pass. Even for students, for everybody, the pass rates are low. We know that there's problems. So what we talked about is the UK has examiner training, where you get trained and inducted into being an examiner and taught how to set questions. There should be marker training. There should be maybe a progression where you have to mark first and then you're allowed to set. So trying to put in more guinea pigs, more testing of papers. So trying to actually actively work on the quality and fairness of those papers and aligning those papers with each other would be a better use of resources than the tuition resources that we're currently using. Not to say that those aren't important, but if we're going to prioritize that they get the exam right first and then see who struggles, as opposed to having people struggle almost randomly at times. Did I get everything?
So it will, one of the points as well, and we've stressed it, is that maybe most of the support should be from the A300s upwards, not the A100s and A200s, particularly for students who've come through accredited programs. And even if there's a decision to selectively support some of the A200s, it makes no sense to support the subject that we're using as our entrance subject, because that's being used for students who didn't meet our entrance requirements, and we're saying, right, now you have a chance to come in if you can prove that you can pass it. But then we spend a lot of time and effort, it's almost a third chance, to help them to get through an entrance exam. So we think A300s upwards, but there'll be less tuition support needed if the exams are fairer and the students understand and believe that the exams are fair.
I'm not sure. I'm sorry, Christoph has left. Okay, so maybe we must leave the F200, but it's also, I don't think it's part of tuition, so I'm going to just... But yes. Just, were there any other groups that considered the A100, that thought about or talked about the A100 and A200 tuition?
So we mostly spoke about the F100s and the current offerings. We did start considering whether we should continue with AC8 or do something similar, but we never got to a conclusion. there was too little time. we did say that we should continue face-to-face interaction with students, that they definitely require it. But blended learning should be encouraged. But we definitely need to have face-to-face, either in a physically or online. Then one comment I made was that I think universities teaching one F100 subjects should really try to get some platform where those lectures can be recorded and put online. There are some perceptions that the university students do better than the other students because they are privy to more special information, and I think at least making those lectures available online would be a very good resource. There are some very good platforms available. I know we use something called Panopto, but there's different ones that you can use. It's fairly easy to use, even by actuaries. And I think it will eliminate those perceptions of, the students in class being more privileged than the ones having to go for it on their own. The older members, well, I'm probably one of them, but they reminisce about the about the revision days, and that's something that maybe could come back, and then almost make having watched all of those online lectures as a prerequisite, having to put something on paper saying keeping to your ethical promise of saying yes, I have actually watched all of those lectures before coming to the revision day. But having that face-to-face contact and getting a lot of value out of one day. And then one other thing that we mentioned was that there are some exam techniques courses, but we think that they should also be something like a study techniques course introduced, maybe an academy level. I don't want to go there, but specifically for students that maybe did not do an accredited degree and still needs to kind of understand what is required from an actuarial student. And that's all pretty much we got to in 15 minutes, which you gave us.
which was what we got for the session.
Yes.
I think you guys did well. You guys want to go next?
No, I think, a lot has already been covered. What we did say in terms of continue, there is, especially at the F100 and 200s, there is already a lot happening, but it's maybe just, an improvement on communicating what is already available, because I don't think, some of us here, luckily we had someone, Bobby from ASA with us, but all of us in the group didn't even know about all the sessions that is already available.
Okay, I'll just, thanks Christelle, because while I was writing that, I was thinking is how do we get the students to read our mails?
Yeah, so I think we said
wait.
Instead of mails, you can, when you go on the ESSA on your profile and register, as you register for a subject, up pops options to say, these are the tuition offers we have for the subject that you just registered for. So that's a way to avoid the spamming of emails per se, but people know about what's going on as they register for an exam. Yeah. But you're normally registering for all those things at the same time. Maybe that's just me. Yeah. I think the video lectures, you don't have to put full lectures, but there are definite stumbling blocks in certain subjects that you can make an episode available on that specific stumbling block. And then we said somehow to introduce more resources for these programs, and I quite like the training idea, because then she was who was the devil saying she mentioned that that there are a lot of junior actuaries that want to be involved, but they can't necessarily be involved. But if you have a training problem, training program, you can develop them to eventually be able to take over. And that way you keep a steady flow of educators and trained volunteers. Oh, and then if on the F200, the mock exam, I think more clarity needs to be given on what level that mock exam is set at, because there's a lot of miscommunication between, is it actually at the level of the exam, or is it slightly below the level, and what happens, what are the actual implications if you pass the mock exam compared to how you write the actual exam. And then just for the F100 support, feels a little bit empty for people who have done or that are doing the support program, in that there are, for example, those weekly topics to discuss, but then there's no almost moderator to kick off the discussion, so students never take up the discussion out of their own lives.
Question, this group that was question as to why so few people, students take up the offer was part of what we already discussed. Now I think quite a bit around it has come through in the discussion generally, but that was really, they should be offering these things and you find, you know, from 0 to 50% take up 50% for or one smallish course then, and when historically students who do these things generally do a lot better. And what do we need to do to sell that more? Maybe it's just worth mentioning the thing on the support and some knowledge for students. There's a thing that's working through the academy, been looking at working at an adapted version of a publication that is goes to the Society of Actuary Students, that we've adapted that and it will soon be coming available and hopefully be available in time to students in the university programs as well as students joining us.
Okay, cool.
Sorry, Marla, firstly, I'd just like to say I agree with Steve on the tuition of A211. I really don't think that's a good or a sensible area to put in tuition. And the other thing I just mentioned is exam counselling should be clearly a tuition function. Yeah, it's just in some, like a subject like F102, where I think there was some going to and fro getting counsellors this time. The examiners have only marked one of the 8 questions anyway, so there's nothing specific that they're really bringing.
Okay, guys, is there anything else that, I think we have a lot of things to do. I think you raised the questions about the resources. any ideas apart from the newly qualified actuaries that we can train?
We do have a challenge in terms of resources, because we are quite volunteer dependent, and I think the training is certainly something for us to invest in, because I think part of the problem is that the people who have the time and the energy to commit are the people who don't necessarily have the experience. So whereas the people who have the kind of experience we're trying to tap into are the people who are just way stretched. And and make promises, but with every will in the world, they just can't, they can't keep. So I think we do need to think about how we make better use of the resources that we have, because I don't think it's a case of people that we don't have enough volunteers. I mean, Christelle's always sending me lists of people who want to do things, but perhaps we need to be better about directing them into what they can do and providing them with that support.
Any other ideas on the...
Specifically with the communication exam, you can also have communicators doing the communication bit as well, them giving their input on structure and format and language. It doesn't just have to be actuarial people. Yes, but there is a body of people who have been doing the actuarial communication for some time who are more the communicators than the actuaries, and they understand what's required.
Because I just wanted to add, we also talked about having guinea pigs for the A302 exam.
Okay, I think the exam-related stuff is being recorded, but any last comments, suggestions, volunteers for tuition? Okay, thanks, guys. That has been useful. We might come and knock on your doors, but... Christelle will take a photo, I hear, of my scribbles, and we'll try and make work of it as quickly as we can. Okay, thanks, everybody. Our dean always, when we have a meeting with him, says, "You actuarial types are so concise. Let's keep it that way, sir." We made the time.